Hey guys, what's going on? This is the Cinepile Podcast, episode 22. It's going to be a little bit different this time around. It's just going to be me, a little bit solo. So just Cooper here. For everyone who is listening and might be curious as to where we've been, it's been about 6 months since we put out an episode. And simply, we just got a little burnt out. We've been putting out episodes for the past 3 years or so, and I think we all just kind of got a little bit tired with that podcast game a little bit. But we're coming back. We're going to be trying to give you guys more consistent content so that way we can share the movies that we love. And so talking about the movies that we love, I'm going to be just doing a quick little episode here just to kind of get back into the swing of things. And we are going to be talking about a Japanese anime called Jinro Wolf Brigade. Now, Jinro Wolf Brigade, it's from 1999, and so it's a little bit older, but I think it's from a very, like, just awesome time in anime. And granted, I am not the, you know, anime god. Like, I'm not like this super duper dude who's like really into it. Like, usually I'm into very like people centric kind of anime, like, you know, more so serious dramas, things like Cowboy Bebop, you know, the recent Godzilla movie that was actually on Netflix, which is surprisingly good. So things that have a tinge of seriousness to it and a tinge of drama to it. But like I said, we're going to be talking about Jinro Wolf Brigade. And this is directed by Hiroki Okura. Japanese, it's not the easiest language. So he directed this, and notably he also directed Cowboy Bebop, the movie. He was also involved, I mean, he's kind of a legend, Hiroki is. He's a legend within like the anime world. If you don't know the name, you probably know some of the titles that he has worked on, such as Akira, Ghost in the Shell, Paprika. Those are probably the three biggest ones aside from Cowboy Bebop and obviously Jinro. Specifically talking about Hiroki before we kind of really do more of a dive into it, specifically is his animation style, which is always, I always feel like you can sort of point it out, just like how you can look at a David Fincher film or, of course, is where I blank on actors or on directors, but like a David Fincher film or a Steven Spielberg film or, you know, any kind of particular auteur. Like, everyone has their own particular style. And what makes Hiroki's style so particularly unique is the fact that if you're not familiar with it, there's this term called the uncanny valley. And that is where something that is artificial looks a little too human, and it's not quite there, but it bothers you. One of the good examples for this is when video game design first was getting started, and when CGI was first getting started, pupils would look straightforward. They were perfectly centered in the eyeball, and it made them look so robotic, and they didn't understand why. And it's because pupils are actually a little offset. And once they did that, they realized it built a more of a human quality. And that's what I'm talking about. That certain kind of uncanny valley is where also we can see robots or cyborgs now. Well, not cyborgs, but just robots where they have like the fake skin or the creepy little robots that actually talk and have fake emotions. We can see that it's a human kinda. But it's too close to the original thing that it's such a facsimile. Like, you can tell that it's fake, and because you can tell that it's fake, it makes you uncomfortable. Now, where Hiroki's style is very special is that it's very, very human, but it rides this really perfect wave of the uncanny valley to animation. And never in any of his shows, I mean, you can have someone like Spike from Cowboy Bebop with, you know, 4.5 foot long legs and big giant afro and he doesn't really look fake, but he doesn't look real. But there's just, it's just, you're wholly observing that, like whatever's on screen. And that's just something, a very special kind of style that he has, that you can see in every single one of his movies, from Akira to Ghost in the Shell, Paprika, and for Jinro, Wolf Brigade. And so much so that a fun thing that kind of came into Hiroki is that his style was, it kind of came under fire as being rotoscoped. Now, for those of you who don't know what rotoscoping is in cartooning, so there's two different types. Rotoscoping, one is in Superman, when Henry Cavill had a mustache, they actually had to rotoscope off his mustache and every single thing. So they had to go back through and paint it over. Now, that painting over is kind of from where the rotoscoping original definition was for. So if you watch things like Cinderella, specifically Cinderella, actually, you will see people, the movements are very human, are very delicate, but still very human. And that's because they actually had actors portray Cinderella, as well as other actors portray other cartoon characters. And they would record it, and then they would trace specifically those actions. And so that was called rotoscoping. And Hiroki actually came under fire that there's no way that he could make such incredibly human-looking movements, but that were also, you know, animatedly fluid without rotoscoping. And he went on the record saying that, no, it's like, it is a commitment to quality, and it's a commitment to a specific animation style. And if you go back into all of his past, you know, prior movies that he worked with, that particular style can be seen then. And so, yeah, the guy don't rotoscope, pretty much is what I'm saying there. So let's get into it. So let's talk about Jinro Wolf Brigade. So kind of just getting off on the start. So it is taking place in Japan in the 1950s and 60s. In an alternative history where America did not enter into World War II. And instead, Germany won the war, and then Germany turned on Japan and eventually conquered Japan as well. And so that's where, you know, you have people, it's kind of a secret police, so kind of a very German kind of idea. And they're called the Kerberos Panzer Corps. So it's like these hellhounds is what they are. And it's this German, very nationalist or fascist group within Japan that's trying to compete with powers with police that already existed in a form of government that is slowly being usurped by the secret police without a full coup d'etat or something like that. So it's about chess movements and everything like that on a bigger level. So you have two plots that occur. You have this very large political plot between these large powers trying to usurp one another. And then at the same time, you have this guy named Fusei. And Fusei encounters a little girl in the sewers who has a bomb, and he's a part of an anti-terrorist group. And he tracks her down in the sewers, and he witnesses her detonate a suicide bomb. And that detonation leaves him incredibly scarred and, you know, just PTSD. And he has to go back to training. And when he's back in training, you start to realize that he is slowly losing his humanity. And one of the things that this addresses is displacing one's responsibility to an authority. So if anybody, you know, listens to other podcasts or things like Radiolab, there's a specific experiment called the Milgram experiment. And that's where someone with a lab coat tells you to keep on hurting someone else that's in an opposite room. They're answering questions incorrectly and you're giving them an electrical shock, and it increases over time. And this doctor is supposed to be saying, hey, no, keep on doing it, while this opposing person that you don't even see is begging for you to stop. But surprisingly, a lot of people keep going. And this was also brought up around the Nuremberg trials, to where this displaced responsibility makes people do really audacious things just because you're being told to do it by a form of authority, even as an adult. And so Fuse struggles with this as a soldier because he's told to kill these people, and he's gunned and mowed down so many people before this girl, but specifically this just shakes him to the core. And he actually winds up going to the girl's funeral and goes to her cemetery where her remains are in ash, and meets the sister. And the sister doesn't blame him, and they kind of form this really strange relationship. And this is where it runs parallel with the parable of Little Red Riding Hood. So Jinro, Wolf Brigade, Little Red Riding Hood, and Fuse being the wolf, and these girls all wear red. Obviously, you can't see. And so it follows this kind of theme of man versus his, natural, what you could call like a civilized state or moral state, versus a utilitarian savage state of domination and destruction and power and completely usurping your own will in order to achieve what authorities want above you. And so that's where I'm talking about, that it's this kind of interplay between large powers trying to usurp each other, while on a more so microscopic individual level, you have a guy trying to see if he is usurping himself. And so you get to see this play out, and kind of like how I was talking about beforehand, how this all gets played out is very slowly. So if you're not a fan of slow movies, this may not be your kind of bag. However, if you haven't ever watched anime or anything like that, I think this would be a pretty easy movie for you to first watch. You just have to be a little bit patient with it. Obviously this was made for Japanese audiences rather than American, so pacing is going to be a little bit different just because of cultural values. But the thing to keep in mind is that even if the plot can kind of get sluggish, like admittedly it can get sluggish, every single detail is just so incredibly beautiful in this movie. And it lingers in such a way, but it doesn't really matter that it lingers, because the environment is a very large part of the background. In the background, you see people engaging in a lot of consumerism, because now Japan is this thriving, at conflict nation, and so people are buying things, but also trying to hold on to traditions at the same time. So even society itself is countered against itself. So you have government countering against itself, an individual, and society as a whole on not really knowing what to hold on to or how to proceed into the future. And as those all, every single bit, unfolds, we see riots within the society. We see assassinations taking place within the government. And then we also see, agent, double agent, murder, betrayal, all kinds of shenanigans that you could expect to have happen in an intensely fascist regime trying to grab onto a totalitarian level of power. That usually, that's when bodies kind of start piling up. And bodies pile up a lot, because this movie does not pull any punches when it comes to violence, though it is few and far between. When the hits do hit, bodies are ripped apart by, M50 machine guns, and really shows the brutality of violence, and not the romanticized kind of typical Japanese version. So I'm assuming that this person that's listening to this right now hasn't seen anime, but you've probably seen Kill Bill. I think most of Americans have seen Kill Bill, notorious for its blood play. Someone gets their head cut off and blood squirts, 3 feet into the air. That's like a very entertainment of violence. Whereas I would say that this movie is probably on the kind of like the intro scene of Saving Private Ryan when they're storming the beaches of Omaha, that it is not trying to entertain you in any kind of way. It is showing you the sad, hard reality of war and of violence. And this movie does a really good job of that, in the fact that it's never making violence sexy. It's never making it marketable. It's making violence violent. You're seeing bullet holes pass through people's faces and being filled with an innumerable amount of bullets and the catastrophic damage that's just done against the human body on every single angle. And again, you have these intense moments of violence, and then it lingers. And it lets you feel those moments again and again. And I think that's where you can kind of gain appreciation of it. First time I watched this movie, I was kind of bored at times. Second time around, I found myself really appreciating those lingering moments, just because it allowed you to kind of have that time to digest, like not trying to move the plot along onto the next thing. It allowed for ingestion and digestion to take place on a scene level, which really doesn't happen all too much. You can look at something like that with Quentin Tarantino. You know, he does have a lot of mood, you could say, in a lot of his movies, but at the same time, really paced out to have intense violence and intense moments of emotional or of heightened emotion, and then letting those linger. You know, let's think about Pulp Fiction when, you know, what is it, when they're putting the adrenaline shot into Mia Valentine's chest, and that moment of, Vince about to stab her, and the sheer suspense of that movie, that's what this movie really holds. So again, I guess if you like Quentin Tarantino movies, Jinro Wolf Brigade wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for you to watch. At the same time, though, when it does get into anime as a style, it's very banal overall. It's not very stylistic. I would say that if you were going to kind of compare it to something, I've been watching a lot of True Detective recently. I've been rewatching the series. But True Detective has a very simple backdrop, very simple style, desaturated colors, empty frames, and large characters. And that's what this movie really has. Not a lot going on in terms of the background being exciting, detailed and rich for sure, and characterizing at times, but usually the background, if it's ever noticeable, it's because it's the character and the camera's away from the actual characters themselves and is allowing, you know, things like society to be shown or other traits to be shown, like such as burning fire or, you know, shields of a riot police officer who just got blown up by a bomb flipping through the air and then finally coming and crashing back down into the chaos. So you'll have characterizations created from that respect. But yeah, again, I just think it's ultimately about just a person making a choice, again, of being a wolf or a man, you know, being something of nature, being something of a savage utilitarian kind of level that murder and torture aren't really things that get weighed. They're just something that you do because someone told you to do them. And it's this guy's soul that's at stake. And you constantly watch his soul being at stake. And I don't really want to go more into that. I've been trying to tiptoe around this without having too many spoilers, but to at least be a little bit evocative to maybe have you check it out. If you do want to check it out, it is on Amazon Prime. If anyone's got that, you can stream that for free. You're not going to have to deal with subtitles. They do have it dubbed. But if you do want to read subtitles, you can read subtitles, whatever. And also the other reason why I wanted to kind of bring up this movie specifically is it's being remade into an action film that's a live-action film, so with actual people, not animation. And a lot of people could groan at that, but in actuality, General Wolf Brigade is a part of a series, so it's a third-parter. So a whole bunch of, like, drama happened, and Hiroki wound up making it into an anime just so he could have creative control over it. And so while he was making Ghost in the Shell, he kind of put this on back burner. Then he came back to it and put it specifically in animation terms so no one else could really touch it, because he was like the god of animation at the time. And so the previous movies before this were The Red Spectacles and Stray Dog, Caribus Panzer Corps, which again means hellhounds. So those are the two leading up to it. You don't need to watch them beforehand. Honestly, I think you could go backward and watch them. I did. I didn't find The Red Spectacles or Stray Dog to be displaced so much by watching Jinro first. But yeah, if you wanted to check those out, again, it's Red Spectacles and Stray Dog. You can check those out on IMDb and everything like that. But, you know, ultimately, again, I think it's just a fun film. One of the negative parts is I think they get a little too on the nose with the whole Red Riding Hood and the wolf and everything like that. They kind of ham that up quite a bit. And, you know, for American audiences, I don't think that really, like, hits the way it maybe hit with Japanese audiences. That was the only kind of the only complaint that I had aside from that. But honestly, like, if you're having a nice quiet night with friends, or you just want to watch a good movie by yourself and get like a really good emotional trip from something, and something that can really allow you to process, I'd really recommend General Wolf Brigade. I'd give it a 6 out of 10 with the ranking system that we have here. And in case you are not familiar with it, an average movie, perfectly average, perfectly watchable movie is a 5. Anything above that is a 6. If 10s don't exist, 9s make you have to reevaluate cinema in general, and 7 and 8s are getting progressively more and more difficult, as you can imagine, but twice some and then by 4. So keep that in mind in terms of just our ranking system. A 6 doesn't mean 60. A 6 means it's a damn good movie and you should check it out. So again, kind of a short one here, guys. Just wanted to say thank you for listening, and that you should expect some new episodes coming out from us. Most likely with either, it could just be me again, it could be Kyle. We're kind of working out schedules and everything like that. But get excited, because new episodes are going to be coming out on a more consistent basis. We're going to be doing about 2 a month. We're going to just be shooting for 2 a month, because we were trying to do 3 beforehand. That was just too much. We had to make too many compromises as far as just how much research we could do into movies. And yeah, life being life, that just wasn't working out. So expect 2 months, 2 a month, you know, 2 weeks between each one. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, feel free to let me know. If you didn't like this episode, also feel free to let me know. You know, I just don't want to sit here and just think that I'm doing everything perfectly. You know, this is a work in progress. But if you would, feel free to share it with friends. You know, check us out on Facebook. We also have an Instagram. We have a Twitter. We're not really active on Twitter that much. Pretty active on Facebook and Instagram mostly. You can follow us at Cinepile Pod. Again, that's CinePilePod. So Cinepile Pod on both Facebook and Instagram. You can check us out. We do lots of posts on there as far as just movies to watch. You can also follow all of our previous recommendations that we've done with all of our previous episodes on Letterboxd. So that is letter without the second E, and then box. So that's where all of our previous recommendations from all of our earlier episodes are. And if you do want to listen to any of our earlier episodes, we are streaming on Stitcher, on iTunes, also on SoundCloud. So you can listen to us wherever you like. If you want us to be somewhere else that you'd like us to, you know, hear from us on, let us know. We're more than happy to be on several platforms if that helps out any of our viewership. But again, thank you so much for giving me your attention here for the past 25 minutes. And yeah, check out Jinro Wolf Brigade by Hiro Okihara. And again, thank you. See you at the next one.